Well, same intro, but it is a new era, believe it or not. This is the first, technically speaking, this is the first brand new show of the Second Print Comics Club era. And this is the Silver Age Spotlight. I'm calling this issue one, even though this is how you know what's old is new, what's new is old. I'm still confusing episodes and issues. I'm going to call this episode one of the Silver Age Spotlight, even though my guest here and I, Eric, have sort of dived into some Silver Age stuff before, but we're going to make it official. This is the start of an era. It's a new year, new start. Eric, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Mark?
Doing fine. More than fine, actually. Fine. Why did I say fine?
Wow.
Scratch that from the record. If I was editing this, I would edit that out and say I'm doing fantastic because it's an exciting new era. I'm appreciative of everybody who has carried over and stuck with us here in the Second Print Comics Club as we go sort of behind the paywall. We'll still be doing some public facing content and whatnot, but the perks, let me tell you, they are on the way. They are coming. So get excited about that. You can check out all the levels. If you haven't yet, we have adjusted all the levels on Patreon. The only thing that's changed is more things. You get more stuff. So check that all out. And in the meantime, you're going to get a bunch more exclusive bonus content, such as this program right here. So Eric, this being the inaugural edition of the Silver Age Spotlight Show, I decided to let you, we kind of both picked it. You gave me two options and then I narrowed it down. So why don't you tell me the two picks we had, first of all, and then I'll.
Yeah. So the two picks that we had is we had Green Lantern number 59, which is the first appearance of Mark's favorite Green Lantern, Guy Gardner.
Favorite human. Mythological.
Sorry. I stand corrected.
I like him in all manner. It doesn't matter if he doesn't have even when he's just getting hit by a bus and going to the hospital, and doesn't even have his bowl cut, I still appreciate the man.
That's right. That and then the second choice is Showcase number 4. Did you have any idea what Showcase number 4 was before I mentioned it?
I did not, but it has several notes of significance, does it not?
It sure does. So it is heralded as the issue that kind of rushed in the Silver Age in comic books. It also is the first appearance of Barry Allen, The Flash. So it is a pretty significant book in comic book lore.
So why is this? Obviously, this was retroactive. The day this was released, they didn't say, we're beginning the Silver Age. So why is this particular book considered the beginning of the Silver Age?
You know, I think it's because it's a classic story. It comes around the time frame that the Silver Age was kind of ushered in, where there was a rebirth of different heroes. This was a different take on the Flash. You were going from Jay Garrick to Barry Allen, and you were seeing just kind of like a change in the superhero mantra. So I think that's kind of a little bit why, by simplifying it, as to why this is considered, you know, one of those first books. It was also one of the earliest ones. This one came out in October 1956 or September 1956.
Yeah, the publication date is September 10th, 1956.
Yep. Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, the cover on the book.
If I could go back in time, I would just do like a Back to the Future 2 type scenario, but instead of betting, I would tell my dad. I wouldn't do any of this weird stuff where I hook up with my mom. I would skip all that stuff. I would tell my dad, since he's probably the only one I know who was alive then, I would tell my dad to pick up this book and like every other book and preserve them, you know, and then just trust me, give these to your son someday.
Absolutely.
Not your daughter, your son.
That is absolutely correct. The value on this book is very, very high. You know, if we were telling you last time we did one of these on the first appearance of Jonathan Stewart to pick up the book, this one, if you see it sitting in a dollar bin or $5 bin, absolutely pick this one up.
$100 bin. I mean, any bin.
$100 bin. If you have any cash, bin at all,
get out of there with it.
At a low grade on this book, you're looking at low estimates around like $7,300, and the high, like a near mint grade book on this thing, is $140,000+,
which I can't imagine there are many that could even exist, because this is when these were just on the newsstand. People are grabbing them like any other magazine, reading them. Like, nobody is attempting to preserve these books at this point. I imagine any near mint copies that exist are just by the most strangest happenstance of accidents. Like, they just happen to be stored in some way that preserved them by without anybody trying to do that.
Yeah, I've always wondered about how books this old
or time travelers or the time travelers got in and said, preserve, put it in this sealed case. I can't tell you why. Just trust me.
That's exactly right. Maybe one of the time travelers from the book we're going to talk about today.
There we go.
Is going to appear.
There's always a tie-in, especially with time travel. The ultimate Because Comics move. Eric July, in his sort of Ripperverse creed, his code of ethics, he said, we're not going to do any stuff that just, you know, wipes out the timeline and confuses you. Like, none of this multiverse stuff, none of this time travel stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of like time travel. I don't like it in real life. Like, I think it is dumb and can't exist in real life, but I love it in science fiction. Maybe that's why, because I don't think it's even real at all. Whereas maybe there's some other science fiction stuff I'm like, oh, I can imagine a guy spilling chemicals on himself at the same time a lightning strike hits and then he becomes really fast. I guess I could imagine that. Time travel, bridge too far for me for some reason. That being said, shall we dive in to this issue?
Silver Showcase.
Spotlight Showcase number 4. I meant to set this up beforehand, but of course, me being me, I didn't. But I'm going to try to share some of my screen.
Where we do everything on the fly on this show.
Yeah, that's how we
roll. Nothing changes. There we go. That's part of the production.
I'm not going to do the whole issue. I guess I probably could do the whole issue because I don't think I'm even going to publish the video publicly. This will probably just be for the patrons. We'll see. Maybe I will. Either way, I think we can go through. I've seen people sharing a lot of this stuff on in other like podcast, YouTube review type stuff. I think the key is you can't just share a whole issue probably, but you can share tidbits, you know. This is not advice of a lawyer. This is just my own legal advice that I dreamed up for myself. So
that sounds good. I like
my advice. But yeah, here's the cover. If you're a young lad skipping through the streets of New York City past a newsstand in 1956, you think you're going to pick this up if you got, 5 cents in your pocket? Is it 5 cents? I don't see a cover price on this.
Based off this cover, I'm not picking this up.
I don't know what this is.
he's coming off of film for some reason. Yeah, I have no idea why.
From a reel of film, which really doesn't tie into this book or anything with the character at all. He's not interested in films. Like, I don't even know.
Maybe it ties into the whole Showcase theme and we're just not familiar with it from the time period.
Probably. I guess we could find out. I could quickly look up Showcase number. I'm not going to too much work. Let's just assume they have.
Yeah, I don't want to go.
Then I got to leave this screen, go on another screen. It's a whole thing.
Too much work.
Let's just assume they had some kind of rationale here.
Yeah.
I'm going to hide the screen for a moment. I'm not going to share the whole thing, but I'll pop back when appropriate. How about that? Well, our first page. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm already going to pop back. Why not? Why not share the whole damn first page? I wonder if I can make this bigger, but I do find it interesting that we start off with a splash page here. And instead, you know, this was not even a thing. I feel like until recently I used to complain about like the fact that I could get into a new comic and it would be, you know, issue 33, for example. And I'd be like, well, I just have no idea what's going on. And then Marvel at some point and like the 2000s started to do these little recaps page, with all the characters and the plot summary. And I actually really like that. Cause whenever Remzo gives me a new Marvel book, like from that era to read, I'm like, oh, here I go. But if they have that little recap, at least I'm like, okay, fine. And they actually kind of had this here. You know, they set it up from the beginning. This is the startling tale of the Flash, a man who is so fast that he not only outraced his shadow, really? Was that in this? But also broke through the sound barrier on foot. But what happens to the fastest man alive when he battles the slowest man on Earth? Is his incredible speed a help or a hindrance? Why would it be a hindrance? Hold on to your seat for the amazing answer as you read The Mystery of the Human Thunderbolt. Now, it's interesting because, as you mentioned, Jay Garrick already existed. There already is a character called the Flash here. That's and right. In this very first, again, they like him emerging from stuff. He was on the cover. He's emerging from the film reel. And here he's emerging from, I guess, a comic book, from his own comic.
His own comic book. Yeah.
That's meta.
Yeah. What I didn't notice before first reading through this is that all the panels that are in the background are actually in this comic book.
Wow. That's you actually went through and verified that, huh?
Yeah. I read this book.
Fair enough. I'm going to read it right now, live. No, I read the book. I just didn't pay that close. This is why you're here as my producer here, because you are very astute, astutely attentive
to detail
in ways that I am not always. So let's put it that way. You know what? I'm just going to leave it up here till I think I don't need to. So this starts off where I don't even remember this part. What the hell? Did I read a different book? Am I in the right book?
Yeah, I think you're in the right. I hope you're in the right book.
I am. I got a little confused. Anyway, these like army radar type guys are detecting something on their radar, and they said it's on the ground. Whatever it is, it's traveling faster than anything known. Now, before I even, is it the old Flash here?
That they're on the comic book, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because so we kind of zoom out and we see this is actually, so this is Barry Allen Flash reading a comic. So we're like already meta here. We're already a comic book within a comic. We're being incepted from the very beginning. These first like six panels or so are these guys, these army guys reacting to Jay Garrick Flash in his comic, which we then zoom out and see that our Barry Allen is reading. So from the very beginning, they acknowledge there is another Flash in this universe and that Barry Allen is a fan of him. And it's a little, it's pretty on the nose. They're like, huh, he's thinking right before this happens. Huh. I wonder what it would be, what it would really be like to be the fastest man on Earth. Well, I'll never know. Unfortunately, the Flash was just a character some writer dreamed up. So, okay. So interesting. So maybe this is one of these, like, you know, they've retroactively changed DC history 1,000 times, but at first he's actually living in a universe where Jay Garrick is in a comic. But he's not really in this universe then. Is that right?
That's what it seems to be. It seems to be that it's a separate thing. He's in a comic book and not part of the real in this case.
Because it's not like the comic is based on the real guy, because then he wouldn't be saying this is just something some writer dreamed up. He'd be like, oh, this is a comic about the Flash, who we all know and love.
Right.
All right. So this must be one of many retroactive. I think ultimately those Justice Society characters all ended up being on Earth 2. They would later say, like, this is on Earth 2, and then Flash and these other guys, the new Flash, etc., they're all on Earth 1, and then Crisis, etc., and they all got merged. And
well, I mean, we all know the real answer to it, because comics.
There we go. It's still alive, baby.
That's right.
So as young Barry Allen here is just thinking to himself about, you know, how it'd be cool if he could be the Flash, but that's never going to happen. And he returns to whatever test he's making. He's not an investigator here yet either, is he? He's just a scientist.
He's a scientist in a police lab.
He's in a police lab.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that's pretty much the same. I think they make him more of like specifically like a forensic analyst later on, like more of an investigator type, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But I don't know if that job existed in 1956.
Okay. At least not on TV. It didn't, which is what matters.
That's exactly right.
I forgot I can make these panels much, much bigger. Anyway. So what happens? This is like manifesting your reality. You know, this is the secret right here. He put it out into the universe. He said, huh, I wonder what would happen if I was the Flash. And then lightning strikes, combines with the chemicals. As I mentioned, he is doused in chemicals, but he seems fine. He seems actually rather unfazed. It says, I like how it says, still slightly dazed at Barry Allen leaves. He just brushes this shit off. Like, he's struck by light. I guess there was no cell phones then. I'd be calling everybody like, dude, I'd be tweeting. I was just struck by lightning and I'm fine. This is crazy. But he seems like totally happy to just skip off to home like nothing even happened.
Yeah. And he's doused in chemicals. Didn't bother to clean himself off.
I can't imagine he's these just chemicals.
Ready to go home.
Smell amazing.
No, I can't.
But then as Barry is I think it brought us him. Yeah. He's walking to go get a cab. He's trying to catch up with the taxi. And suddenly, as you see, he has gone well past the taxi. And he's like, what's going on here? I was just slowly walking to catch this taxi and suddenly I'm way past it. And as he finally breaks to his stop, the puzzled scientist, they call him, he says, that lightning bolt must have shaken me up more than I realized to make me imagine I raced past that speeding cab as if it were standing still. That's his. Now, I guess if you're in a world where there are no superpowers yet, you wouldn't just jump to I had superpowers. You might actually think I probably just lost my mind.
That's what I would jump to first. You know, doused in chemicals. Maybe I'm drugged. You know, maybe who knows what happened. But right. Superpowers, not the first thing I'm jumping to.
All right, well, Barry Allen just continues along with his day, still doesn't go home to shower or anything. Now, it's possible that off panel he showered in the lab, so maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He does seem pretty clean here, but he's sitting in a diner eating his let's analyze his meal, by the way, because it can't be morning, right? Because he's already in the lab, already got struck by lightning, yep. And now is going home. It's got to be night. So he's got what appears to be a piece of cake here, like carrot cake.
He's got some pie.
There's this pie or cake or whatever it is. There's two pieces of toast. Maybe I think there's the butter. This I'm using my mouse, which you can't see, but you can imagine where I'm pointing. There's the coffee, which is spilling right on him, about to. And then are those churros? What's below the coffee?
If you go to the next panel,
cool.
If you go to the next page,
I can do that.
Wow. You can see exactly what it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is apparently three hot dogs.
Three hot dogs, some French fries. It looks like maybe a bowl of soup, some bread, and a piece of pie.
I think the soup.
What an American meal!
Big. I think the soup is actually the the cream for the milk, maybe, but that now it seems kind of big compared to the, I don't know. Yeah, there's definitely.
No, yeah, he's got coffee.
He's got fries. I love the 3 hot dog order from Barry Allen and the side of toast. Maybe this is the lightning affecting him still. Anyway, he said, instinctively shrieking from the falling. I like how he's instinctively shrieking. They're really making Barry out to be a real manly dude here. His instinct is to, he says shrieking, shrinking. Sorry, I read that wrong. I'm going to imagine him shrieking because I think that's much funnier.
Eek!
He says, and now this is kind of like what they do in the more recent Flash movies, and which I think they do a lot better with Quicksilver in the X-Men film, where from his point of view, everything gets really slow. So we see him go fast, but really from the perspective of Barry Allen and Quicksilver in the movies, which makes more sense, because obviously you'd have to explain, like, how can their human brain move so fast, like think so fast? It's not that. Yeah. It's that their everything really slows down for them. It's almost the exact inverse of the powers of the Turtle Man, who we'll meet later.
That's right.
I'm fascinated by his meal here.
Yeah, what I really like here is the art's pretty decent on his facial features, right? He's clearly bugging out. He's like, what is going on here? And it really comes through in the
This on the Silver Age curve, where a lot of times you just see, you're lucky if you can tell it's a face, but you know, let alone getting some emotion there. So I agree. There's some good attention to detail here in
now,
the panel.
What I wonder here.
It's peas. He's got peas.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of everything. It's a well-balanced meal. That is hilarious. For the 50s. So now this is going to be one of the earliest scenes depicted of this type of thing where the waitress stumbles, drops stuff, and someone picks it up. So what this made me wonder, and I didn't look it up, I probably should have, seeing that I'm talking about it, is when did this originate with the waitress or someone spilling a platter full of food and then someone quickly picking it up?
Dropping food, enter the pop culture. Let me see if that
should be this issue.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a pretty deep.
It's a deep cut. Deep cut. Maybe that'll be a follow up.
All right. Well, maybe we'll do a whole episode about the history of waitresses dropping food in pop culture. But yeah, see Barry catching everything here. He's catching the coffee. He's catching the toast. He's catching. Now we can further analyze this meal. The plate is 3 hot dogs, fries, and peas. What is this a common? I mean, it is the 50s. Maybe this is just on the menu. But, you know,
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's really not Barry. He's just a product of his times here. And now I'm going to say this is more like rhubarb pie. That's what it looks like to me. Now we're getting more detail in the panels here. But to him, he's just, you know, at a regular pace, picking stuff up, I guess. But the waitress is like, what the hell? And she's like, well, I must not be getting enough sleep. You know, just like Barry, she thinks she's crazy too. She's like, I must be seeing things. I thought I dropped everything and you picked it all. I don't know. That didn't happen, obviously. And Barry's like, shit, she saw that too. So I might not be crazy because she's seeing me move really fast. So that lightning bolt really tossed me around like a salad. Salad tossing reference here from the 1956. Like a salad in a dressing of chemicals. I better go home and get a good night. Well, yeah, Barry, it is about time you fucking go home. We've been saying that from the very beginning, I think. Finally, Barry is home the next morning. Hopefully he showered before he stained his sheets full of chemicals and the scent of burning human flesh, charred human flesh from the lightning strike. The events of the preceding night seem like a dream to Barry. If I didn't dream all that, then the only reason why I ran past the cab was because it stopped. And maybe that tray full of food only looked as if it were falling. Yeah, you're really trying to rationalize things now, Barry. And all I did was put up my right hand to get it. Yeah, that's it. That's what happened. Then we go next day. Barry's just walking on the street. And he goes to meet his date, who I believe is the first appearance of Iris West.
Iris West. Right, that is correct.
For any Iris West completionists, you're going to want to pick up this book.
Absolutely.
Barry, she says, Barry, you're always late. Well, she's very white here, by the way. Things have changed. Barry, you're always late. Why are you so slow? She says, sorry, Iris. Now, I will say his hair. Suddenly, he has gray hair in the scene. I don't know what happened in this panel. Got to give a little mark on the attention to detail.
Oh, ooh. I didn't see that. So I did not see that. Thank you, Mark.
Also, what's up with that stoplight? Is a white light a thing? There's a red and then below that a white.
This is no good.
These are points coming off the art right now.
It's coming right off.
All right, going again. He says, oh God, it's happening again. I'm sensing an impossible thing. A bullet heading straight for man. The luck of this guy. He gets struck by lightning and then the next day just happens to be standing near a stray bullet, which apparently were also very commonplace in the 50s. With a desperate lunge, the scientist hurls his lovely companion out of the way a split second before. And then she's like, Barry, what just happened? If you didn't accidentally stumble into me, I wouldn't have, you know, missed that bullet. And this cop comes up. He's like, oh, glad you folks weren't hurt. That stray was fired by the Turtle Man making a getaway. And Barry thinks to himself, the Turtle Man? That's the criminal called the slowest man on earth. It's almost like there was some sort of cosmic fate that brought Barry Allen, that made Barry Allen into the fastest man on earth at the right time when the slowest man on earth was causing havoc in the city. What do you think?
You know, it's just the power of reading comic books.
Or because comics could be the other option.
No, power of reading comics. I mean, he was reading The Flash and he just manifested it.
Well, Barry says to himself, there is no doubt about it now. He goes back to his lab. He says, by a freak accident, somehow that lightning strike and the chemicals I was working, he says, the strange combination of chemicals. They're your fucking chemicals, bro. What is the strange combination? You don't know what you were working with? Like, was he just...
It was only certain chemicals that got hit by the lightning bolt that then spilled on him. So there was some divine power at work. I don't know.
Well, I think we are supposed to believe, like, eventually that, like, the Speed Force sort of, like, isn't there sort of, like, a cyclical thing with Barry Allen? It all depends on what timeline we're in or what retcon we're at now. But I believe the general idea now is this is Barry Allen is, like, connected to the Speed Force and somehow, like, did send the Speed Force to create himself in a way or something. Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, he's realized he is now the fastest man on Earth, which means he's just like that guy, Jay Garrick, in those Flash comic books. And this gives him the idea, hey, I could just steal this guy's name and IP, I guess, because apparently there's no copyright laws in this universe.
Apparently not.
Apparently I'm just going to, I feel like if I just name myself, I don't know, some copyrighted name, Hulk Hogan, I don't know. If I just call myself, here, welcome to the Second Pretty Comics podcast, hosted by me, Hulk Hogan. I think I'd be sued, brother.
You might be.
Sometime later at the lab, Barry says to himself, the remote control hookup I fixed up with the alarm system at headquarters is paying off. It's signaling. So all now he's inventing things. He's inventing a new remote alarm system. So he knows when burglars are now robbing the bank. So that's good.
Exactly right.
And not only now, I thought this came into life later on, but apparently even without superpowers, Barry Allen could have been the next fucking Batman here. It seems like he could have been a superhero without powers anyway, because he made this thing where he has the suit inside the ring. He says it works. The chemical solution is swelling the costume to life size, just like the rubber rafts tossed out by Navy planes when crash landing. So he's using Navy technology. For some reason, I don't think that those rafts get this small. I don't think they fit in.
I don't believe they do, no.
But I think he's using the same concept and just extrapolating it out and adding chemicals.
Yeah, why not?
So Barry.
Chemicals never hurt anybody.
Apparently not. So Barry, it's because he's so fast, he can race straight down the side of the building. And he says, I'm going so fast, gravity has no effect on me. Whee! Well, I mean, he's going in the same direction as gravity, if you are a gravity believer. Anyway, but that's a whole nother conversation. And thus, as the costume scientist hurtles along the street, I've always wondered, like, when Barry Allen is going so fast, like, they actually do this in the show The Boys. Have you seen The Boys?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
I have only watched the first season. I kind of fell off, but point being that super fast character in the first episode just kills this girl.
Yeah,
he's going because he just goes so fast. And I feel like that would happen all the time. Like Barry would be flying through like people, animals, like bird, like how many birds are just getting killed by a fucking super fast Barry Allen flying around the city.
Well, remember everything looks slow to him. So he can kind of, he should be able to avoid it.
You know what? You're right. They actually fixed my glasses there. Yeah. All right. All right, fair enough. All right, an instant later, the human rocket flashes into Central Bank. The people still have their hands up. It looks like I've come in time to throw a roadblock against the robbery. Thank God. There's all these people holding their hands. Barry rolls into the vault. And he's like, oh, no, the vault's empty. No one is here, and nothing has been touched. Very strange. Questioning of the holdup victims reveals. So now Barry is being an investigator there. He's also doing the questioning, but he reveals the identity, as we suspected, the Turtle Man. Now, for hours, it says, the scientist paces the streets. Now, is this fast pacing or is he regular human pacing? I don't know. I guess he's fast pacing now. What's pacing for the Flash? Must be very fast. Anyway, Flash is thinking to himself, why should the Turtle Man, the slowest man on Earth, go to all the trouble of attempting a holdup and then stop before completing it? Of course, that's it. Why didn't I think of it before? The reason why the slowest man on Earth didn't complete the crime was that he was doing it in two stages, the second after everyone else was off guard. And there he is. And before we get to the conclusion of the Turtle Man scheme, I believe it's time for something we discussed before the show. How about a little flash fact? I want a flash fact. Tell me a little more about the Turtle Man.
All right. So the Turtle Man idolized a original Flash villain, the Turtle, and he is a low-level thug. that likes to rob banks. This is, in fact, his first appearance. The turtle actually appeared in, I think, a series called All Flash number 21. And yeah, sadly enough, Turtle Man actually appears in other. Yeah, I can see that.
Turtle Man. Do something else, and I realized that was on the screen. Luckily, Turtle Man. I was just trying to log into our Patreon real quick.
Turtle Man actually appears in other series. After this, he's not seen for like a couple decades.
Wow, it takes them that long to come back, huh?
Yeah, he's not very popular.
Interesting. All right, well, for you Turtle Man completionists out there, another, you got to get this issue, I'm telling you.
Yep.
And so Barry sees this like shadow on the wall, and he gets there in eye blurring speed, as the panels tell us, and only to discover, oh, he tricked me. This is just a painted silhouette, not the real shadow. The Turtle Man is somewhere else entirely. So great is the human whirlwind speed. He bores through the solid brick wall like a giant drill. So we are learning the extent of what Barry's speed powers can do. I like that they kind of go over all that in this issue. They show us the various different ways that Barry utilizes the speed. It's not just that he's fast. It's what that speed can do, including, well, he's not really vibrating. I think later years, he kind of can vibrate through things and not even break them. Here, he's just busting the wall open. But still, we can assume he finesses the powers later on.
I'm curious how he survives the impact, but
yeah,
I'll ignore it.
Because he can think slow? I don't know. We're gonna because comics, that one.
That's just accurate.
And Turtle Man, who, boy, does he look like a schlub. I mean, let the hair go, but I mean, that hairline is back there. He says he doesn't know. I would probably turn to a life of slow crime as well if I was him. He doesn't know. I like how they too, like, they show us that he's talking slowly here by, you know, having those dots in between just to kind of remind us that this is everything about him is slow.
The world's slowest man.
Yes, exactly. I kind of like
it. Notice the Turtle Man is also going into the sewers.
You know what? I'm just going to keep this format up the whole time where we go through this thing panel by panel. And I just won't release these on YouTube. I'll put some out on the regular feed. So if you're listening to this and want to see us go through the show, it means you got to join the Patreon for sure if you haven't already, or go and look at the link on your Patreon if you're already part of the Second Pecompus Club. There we go.
Yep.
Marketing. So we go on, and by the time Barry regains his senses, by the way, I feel like we've discussed this before, but the art of the narrator, I feel like has kind of been lost. I feel like you don't get as much narration in modern day comics as we used to.
It depends on the writer. So if you look at Tom King, Tom King does a lot of narration.
Tom King's a special little boy. He does his own thing in a lot of areas, and we don't, you know, we don't talk about Tom King
here. Okay, so Tom King aside,
we can talk about it.
Tom King aside, I'm not a harsh. Right.
I'm not a dictator like Remzo. You can talk about whatever we want here. In fact, why not? Part of the show is the tangents. Have you happened? I don't know why you would have. I can tell you that I did because it didn't cost me any money, and I'll leave it at that. Have you read any of his Wonder Woman?
I have not, no.
I could probably hook you up.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you.
But let's just leave it at that. But
after I catch up on all the Turtle Man issues, I haven't read.
It's almost worthy of hate reading. It's almost worthy of hate reading. I'm trying to decide. It would be immoral. It would be unethical to pay for it, I think. So that's why I feel fine not having paid for it. But it is. It's almost like Tom King is being a parody of what people think Tom King is now. It's like he's doubling down on just, I mean, the whole thing is about Wonder Woman is fighting the patriarchy, but there's no story there. It's nonsense. I mean, total nonsense. And the world is secretly being run by this guy. I think his literal name, they call him the patriarch. Like, it's not even like, it's as on the nose as Barry Allen wondering if he could be a Flash someday and then be lightning. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway. That's that was awful. Our Tom King hour there. Anyway, what were you saying about Tom King? He does a lot of narration. That's right. All right. That was our Tom King moment. We get one moment per episode. Into the underground opening, the scientist drive. It's weird to keep calling him the scientist. Why don't they just call him like Barry or our hero or now the Flash? I don't know. I thought that was a little odd. But he is perusing the sewers, saying, all these sewers empty out into the river. Oh, I get it. I'll just catch him up there. So he flashes over to the river and sees a boat, says, that must be the Turtle Man. He must be mad, thinking he can escape in a slow-moving rowboat using his hand to paddle. Idiot. I'll catch up to him on his fast speedboat. I must remember to thank the owner of the speedboat. Oh, he steals a speedboat, by the way, for help. Why does he need a speedboat? Can't he run on the water?
So I wondered the same thing. But I think what we're finding out here is he's learning his powers. Yeah, he's new to it. He doesn't know.
He wouldn't assume that.
He doesn't assume he's Jesus.
But he did assume he could run down the side of a building and assumed he could run through a wall and didn't have any hesitation about that.
That's true.
See, I'm thinking the worst thing that happens if you try running on the water, you fall in the water and you're fine. Yeah, you know?
That's true. That's
but
true.
He's taking down. He's not taking, maybe he's afraid of the water. That's possible. Which would really be make this panel very scary because the boat is sinking right under him. The turtle man must have booby trapped it because the turtle man is a smart cookie and he knows the Flash is afraid of water for some reason, I guess. And knew he would steal that boat and knew he didn't have the ethics to try to get permission to take that boat from someone. Yeah. But luckily Flash and us are learning together. He does run on the water. He quickly leaps out of the sinking boat and says, "Oh my God, I'm moving at such speed that my feet haven't had time to sink into the water. It'll be up to the turtle man. I'll be up to the turtle man in a twinkling."
what twinkling.
Is that? Who talks like that?
That word has been lost to the ages.
But as tends to happen with our hero here, it's been tricked again. "My own speed by vibrations are pushing the rowboat beyond my reach. I can't catch it by running after it." And then now the turtle man is slowly thinking to himself, that's what happens when the, I'm not going to do the whole thing.
Yeah,
when the fastest man on earth meets the world's slowest man, where'd he disappear? Wait a minute. Since I can't capture the rowboat by running after it, I'll have to stop it by not running after it. So Barry instead just runs in circles through the water, speeds this rowboat up, tosses the turtle man in the air, catches him and ends him pretty quickly. I don't know about you. One thing that was never really clear to me.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What do Turtle Man's powers do? Like, why? How is being slow an advantage? How does he use these powers? Like, we know he was robbing a bank, but I'm not getting how the powers come into play.
So that's his weakness, is that he's the slowest man on earth.
His powers don't help it.
Right. His power is that he's genius level intellect. And he can make gadgets. Those are his powers.
So he's not even actually super slow. Is he just, he's just a very slow person.
He's not
a superpower.
He's not a slow person, but he's a individual who moves slowly.
I don't mean he's mentally. Yes. He's a brilliant person who physically moves very slow.
That's right.
Well, she says, and then these reporters are talking to the Flash afterwards. They're saying, you know, what did you say your name was? And the reporter said, oh yeah, she said, this reporter says, "You certainly captured that character in a Flash, mister." I like how he's giving the reporter the credit as if there's not already a comic book with a character wearing the same fucking outfit and insignia named the Flash. Like, no, you just stole the name, dude. Stop. Like, you already decided this a while ago when you literally took this idea from the
comic. He's just plagiarizing left and right here. Just taking credit for others' work. No credit. This guy might as well go to Harvard.
Yep. And finally, we see a young man saying, "Read all about the Flash, the fastest man in the world," as Iris. He is back on the date with Iris, I guess. He has resumed this date here. How exciting it would be to meet a man like that. But I guess just what a fucking bitch, by the way. She's on a date and she's just daydreaming about what it would be to how what a better guy she could meet out there. Like, I'm sorry,
right.
Superpowers or not. That's kind of fucked up. It'd be like, you know, if you're like walking around and, you know, my wife and I pass Brad Pitt and she just starts going, "Huh, man, sure would be great to be with Brad Pitt. Wouldn't that be awesome?" Oh, well,
yeah,
that's not happening. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? Jesus, I'm right here. Anyway, that's what happened to Barry.
I mean, this is back in the 50s. It does not
but
look
it's
happy.
Him. The good thing is it's him. So he's actually only jealous of himself. So he's like, all right, I'll give you the Flash. So I wonder what happens in the bedroom, so to speak, with the Flash.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he can seemingly control it because he just walks around like a normal person. So I guess he could have normal sex, but I guess would have the option of fucking time travel sex, apparently.
Apparently. So how do you want to work this? Do you want to grade each story, or do you want to grade the entirety?
Is the second story by the same artist and writer? The second story is John.
So Bowie. the first one is not credited. But I believe
no one wanted to take credit for this.
I believe Carmine Infantino did the art for both because it looks very similar.
Or what do you think?
I broke it down by each story, but we can
Fuck it. Let's go. You're the producer of this show. Let's see what you think. Right. You want me to grade it first?
Yeah, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I feel like you might taint me too much.
Okay.
Well, like I said, I think, again, I'm always grading art and all that stuff on a little bit of a Silver Age curve your enthusiasm. No, on a Silver Age curve. And like, this art doesn't blow me away, but it was pretty good. There was like for Silver Age art, there was like a lot of detail, like you said, in the faces. Heck, the detail of the all the food. I mean, the three hot dogs, the peas. And I think a lot of the Silver Age stuff, the art isn't always going to stand out as so different than the other artists. I think a lot of times they can almost be interchangeable. So I would grade it more just on like, is there detail? Are there little things here and there? Does the art make sense? That kind of stuff, which it generally does. Now, I will say there were a couple panels that I pointed out where some things didn't quite make sense, but really these were minor, and I'm looking at this blown up, and in reality, these are small parts of small panels. So I can maybe give it a little bit of a pass, but I think judging on the Silver Age curve, I'm going to give the art a 4. I think the art is actually pretty decent for the Silver Age. Writing, again, probably still grading on the curve a little bit, but there are writing's decent for that time. Yeah, there's some cheesy lines in there, like catch him in a twinkling or what have you. But overall, in 12 pages, we get the introduction to the character. We find out what he does. We meet his girlfriend. We learn his powers as he learns them. He meets a villain that's the perfect opposite of himself. I mean, all these things happen in the first 12 pages, which is pretty impressive. And it all seems to pretty much make sense. So I think I'm talking my grade up even as I speak, because when I say it out loud like this, it's not a bad issue for Silver Age. Not a bad story. Fuck it. Not a bad debut of a new character. I'm going to give it a 4. I'm 4 and 4. I'm going to give this story at least an 8.
Wow. We are in perfect alignment, Mark.
Wow. Wow. That doesn't happen all the time.
That does not. So for the art, I thought this was pretty good Silver Age art, just like you said. This was worlds better than the last Silver Age book that we looked at. There were no, you know, missing parts. They didn't gender swap any of, or race swap any of the characters, you know, and all the pieces were there that were supposed to be there. So art, I'm giving a 4. The story, I thought this was a really good intro to a new character. It was pretty tight. There wasn't too much messing around in the story. So I gave that a 4 as well. I also gave that an 8.
What do you think of just this general format? Because we've seen this before in a lot of these older comics of like two stories in one with two shorter stories.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It gives less room to put filler content in.
Yeah.
I really hate it when I'm reading a comic book and you can tell that they've just put pages and pages in of just filler. You can tell it's an 18-page
story, but they got to make 24, so, you know.
Or worse, 40.
Right. That's the worst when you get like a giant size issue and you're like, cool. You're like, oh no, that's just 20 more pages of filler. That's all they did.
Yeah, exactly right. So I kind of
prefer when we get sort of like these special giant size issues. I prefer when the main story is either the same or maybe a little longer because it's some special issue or something. But then if you're going to bulk it out because you want to charge you more, and it's, I get it. I get why you're going to do that once in a while. Give me just different story. Give me like 4 or 5 short stories. That's the kind of format I prefer.
Yeah, and for an intro book to a new character, I think this is pretty good because you get two aspects of the Flash. You get kind of him coming into his powers, and then you get him discovering some new ones in the second story here. So I think it's a pretty good book.
Well, why don't we dive into our second story in this book? They kind of do almost like a second cover here and a second intro. Like, all right, it's another Flash story. We're going to give you the synopsis here. A slip in time propels an exiled criminal of the future to our era, setting the stage for an amazing conflict between the super scientific thief and the super fast Flash. Victory shifts from one contestant to the other until each realizes that a final triumph can be gained only by the man who broke the time barrier. As we continue to learn the extent of the Flash's powers, I really always thought that like a lot of his powers, especially the time travel thought, I thought that came like way later for whatever reason. And apparently it's been there from the beginning, as we're going to see today.
Yeah, this was really surprising to me as well. I thought this came a lot later, not right at the start of Barry Allen. So this second story was really surprising to me.
All right, well, let's dive in, shall we? I'll try not to jump onto our Patreon screen in the middle of it anyway. Thank God. I mean, there's so much worse things I could be doing on this computer. So I think the damage is minimal. Now, speaking of interesting art, one morning as Henry meet this new character, does this guy look like he's just like cracked out or what? Look at this. Look at
he does.
Looks like he's on something here.
I think he's just waking up, hasn't had his coffee.
Well, one morning as young Henry, I don't know if he's young, as Henry Brown switches on his electric shaver, I'd better hurry if I'm going to get to work on time. Luckily, it doesn't take me long to shave. And amazingly, at the next moment, what the heck? His shaver, it's flying out of his hand. What's going on here? Soon after, as a television serviceman replaces a worn out tube, this new tube will, hey, all these guys are fixing stuff and holding metal things and things are just flying out of here. Meanwhile, because Barry's a scientist, he does stuff with metal things too. He's doing some stuff and he says, great thunder. Does he really think like that? Why does he think like Thor, by the way? Great thunder. The beaker into which I was pouring my solution is gone. Although I don't think that's metal. So maybe that's not.
It's glass.
Yeah, whatever. With startling speed, the young scientist whirls. Who's that? Someone going out? I'd better see who that is. But at super speed, and once again, we get the costume jumping out of the ring and Barry Allen, the Flash, running to see what is going on. Split second later, he says, there he is. Someone and that guy, this guy in this purple wild suit,
yeah,
says, someone coming after me. Oh my God. Runs away as he shoots these intense rings of heat at Barry Allen. Barry says, oh my God, the rings are getting hotter and hotter. They're just like flames. The rings are the least hot. The yellow ones are hotter. Oh, it's like the Green Lantern spectrum here. Like, yeah. I love how observant he's being in the middle of these, like busting through these heat flames.
Yeah, somehow he knows this.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's figuring it out on the fly. Maybe because his brain is able to go slower. Maybe it's tied into that thing.
Yeah, I don't know. And then he just spins around and shoots these heat beams off into who knows where.
Yeah, he just spins around and shoots them
away.
Care. And hopefully not harming, like, some village is just on fire right now.
Yeah, this is only a big city right there. Hey, YOLO.
Yeah, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's Barry Allen's motto. This might be a good time. No, I'll wait till they name him. Shortly at the outskirts of the city, this character here, who's wildly dressed again, he's almost dressed like the Joker. It's like Lex Luthor dressed like the Joker.
I was just going to say that. I couldn't agree more.
I think that's actually what they did. Because those characters all would have existed by now, wouldn't they, in some shape or form?
Lex Luthor, Joker, maybe not. I don't know.
I think Joker was there from the beginning. Not the very beginning, but like before 1956, he's thinking to himself, I've got to be more careful from now on. I never dreamed I'd come up against anyone with such speed of motion in this primitive 20th century. Aha. So he's a time traveler, which was spoiled for us in the new intro page. More than ever, now I must get back to my own time and gain my revenge. I remember my last moments, my own era so clearly. I was standing on the capsule platform and the judge was reading my sentence. The court has found, there was a little flashback here. Oh, it's a flashback, but it's to the future. So it's a flashback for him, but we're going to the future for us. Whew. Mind blown.
Crazy.
And this guy with some wild sunglasses. I love the future. This the style fashion in the future is always the best. The court has found you an incorrigible thief, Mazdan. Therefore, you are to be exiled into the future via a time capsule. Now that he's been named, before we go further, flashback number two. Tell me a little bit about Mazdan. How do you pronounce it? Mazdan?
Yeah, I think it's Mazdan.
I'm going Mazdan myself.
Yeah, so he is a thief from the future, as they just said here. He was sent to the future for punishment to the 50th century. But as we're going to find out, his time capsule was accidentally sent to the past, where he crash landed in Central City. This is his first appearance as well. So that's very exciting. You know, so if you're, again, a huge Mazdan fan, this is a must-read, must-pick-up book. And this is not his first appearance, or not his only appearance. He appears again in 1977 as part of the Rogues.
All right. He wasn't part of the Rogues that we, in the series that we looked at, unfortunately, though.
No. That was too good for him to be.
Joshua Williamson, if you're listening, which I know you are, I know you're a member of the club under a different name. You gotta do a Rogues 2 and bring us some Mazdan. He can go in time. You know, he can go back in time and stir the whole thing up again.
Yeah, I was thinking he could come back for the next Crisis event. You know, he's got that pretty cool look to him.
When I get the reins, he will. So yeah, we're seeing this flashback / fast forward, and he's being sentenced to, apparently, instead of prison, he's going to be sentenced to a timeline. He's being sentenced to an era, the 50th century, which the way this guy says this makes no sense. He says your prison will be the Earth. The Earth of the 50th century, a desolate planet. Okay, he's saying a specific place and time. So I guess the Earth just sucks the worst in the 50th century, and so it may as well be a prison. He's just going to drop him off there. Interesting. What do you think of that as punishment, just from an ethical standpoint?
It sounds horrific.
I guess we need to know his crime. Did they already tell us his crime?
He's a thief. He's a thief. He's been stealing stuff. It seems a little harsh, but I mean,
but maybe he's been stealing a lot of stuff for a long time. You know, maybe this is the last straw.
Yeah, maybe this is the last straw. Maybe he's you know, stealing babies or something. We don't know what he's doing.
Well, Mazan is not concerned because he claims no prison, whatever or wherever it is, can hold me. I'll be back somehow and beat the law. And then the time capsule was closed and fired. A shock of tremendous vibration went through me inside it. But somehow, by a freakish accident, the capsule did not go forwards in time, but backwards into the past, into this crude 20th century. Man, if he just got there like 100 years earlier, he could have been there before superheroes or any of that stuff.
Yeah, he would have been the man.
Would have been better, but just got there like a day after the Flash. started.
A couple of days after, too late.
Damn. And he thinks to himself, with the help of my magnetic rod. Now that's his big power, is the magnetic rod.
Yeah,
power, time travel is not really his power. He was just kind of a victim of time travel.
He was.
He says, I've stolen the objects, and all these guys really trying to do, like, he's stealing here, but all he's really trying to do is steal these objects to help build this time capsule back and propel himself back into the future so he can go get revenge on these assholes that try to send him to the 50th
century. That's correct.
These assholes who are so incompetent that they didn't send him to the 50th century, they sent him to the 20th. Like, that's not close, guys.
Nowhere close.
That is completely off. Completely off. I hope those guys get fired.
I hope so.
Soon after, this time exile here, interesting title, time exile, approaches a bank. He says, oh, I remember from the ancient history books, people would keep their gold in there. Joke's on you, Mazan, because, maybe he got there early. It depends. Because FDR confiscated the gold. Time for a history lesson. FDR ordered individual gold confiscated in the 1930s, but it's possible banks did still have gold in 1956. However, Nixon fully severed the gold standard in 1971. So maybe Mazan got there right in the window where the banks would still have actual gold. So fair enough. Lucky guy.
This is also not Earth, so maybe they had different.
This is not Earth. This is Earth.
This is not our Earth. This is Central City.
No, now he's in. Well,
there's no Central City here.
This is our Earth.
That's what I'm saying. Is maybe they didn't have the you know, they didn't get rid of the gold standard. Maybe they kept it.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess if in this universe there's a place called Central City, there could also be not a Federal Reserve.
That's right.
Wow, what a great universe! I want to be in this universe. I still have the gold standard. This is great. Yeah, sure. You got to deal with Mazdan and his magnetic rod once in a while, stealing your shit when you're just trying to like mow the lawn. But
that's exactly right.
Price you gotta pay. Moments later, as a frantic policeman telephones headquarters, send help! There's a guy blasting his way into the bank on Clover. You're the help, dude. You're the help. You are the cop. I tried to stop him, but I couldn't get near Mari.
Not helpful.
He did try. At police headquarters, Barry is overhearing. Why is the judge the one reading this thing? I guess they gotta get a warrant. He's overhearing, and the weapon he's carrying shoots off rings of heat. I don't think you need a warrant if something is going down, you know? It's weird, right? They're all standing there talking to a judge. Like, this judge is
I think that's the police sergeant. I think he was at a raised desk and they were talking up.
That's very fucking tall. I guess he really wants to be taken. Looks like he's wearing a robe. No,
The taller your desk, the more serious you need to be taken.
Well, they're like, their heads are not even at the bottom of the desk. This is wild.
Very serious, right.
I think that is the police chief. That makes more sense. And Barry Allen, he hears them and he's like, rings of heat? Wait a minute. I remember a guy with rings of heat that I just sent the rings off and didn't care about the guy anymore and just figured, it's fine. So he realizes he left a little mess to clean up. He runs and catches up to Mazdan and again shoots those heat flames at him. But I like how he realizes, you know, it's always coolest at the center of the flame. He knows so much about science and should be true of these rings too. Besides, traveling at super speed, the heat hardly affects me. So who cares? This guy can't do anything to you.
He doesn't care.
Past the last ring, tackles Mazdan, brings him back to the jail, and Mazdan's just thinking to himself, imprisoning me in a regular cell? Like, are you kidding me? I got out of a time jail. Are you fucking kidding me? He says, they stripped me of all my possessions, but they didn't know I wear a special contact eye lens. I like this guy. He's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve.
He does.
Which I can put to good use here. Uses this lens to, let's say, it's a chemically treated lens that magnifies electric light's heat. So he basically just melts the door, gets out of the jail.
So this is where he really looks like Lex. Is in that scene where he's he's melting it down. And then my question is,
he's super skinny. He's like meth Lex.
Yeah. And he's got this eye lens in that he's wearing in his eye and he's looking at these bulbs. How are his eyes not burning out?
Shouldn't it? Maybe he can turn it on and off.
Maybe there's, I don't know,
something. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. That's a good question. I think we found a flaw here.
Yeah.
Found one scientific flaw here. Anyway, he's gone. Barry Allen hears the news. He's like, a thief who can melt, who can melt cell doors is too dangerous to remain at large. I've got to catch him again for the third fucking time. You got to confront this guy within less than 12 pages. My foe seems to have lost all sorts of mastery over heat. Not lost. Where did I read that? I just added that word. Seems to have all sorts of mastery over heat, and that will be the means I'll use to track him down. So he's basically tracking the heat, essentially. He's following the trail of heat.
I didn't even know this was something the Flash could do.
Apparently it is. Maybe that's his science power instead of anything else.
Oh, okay.
There he is in that strange gold-coated projectile. I've got to get him. See, he didn't want money. Again, he just needed the gold to help build his thing. You know, you can almost kind of sympathize with him. To be honest, Mazan doesn't seem like that bad of a guy. He's not hurting anybody. Hey, did try to shoot the heat things at Flash, yes. But, I mean, you could argue that was self-defense, too.
I'm
not arguing it. I'm just saying one could.
I don't know. He seems pretty apathetic when he's.
I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm just saying as far as villains go, he doesn't seem that bad.
Go a couple more panels further and you'll see he's pretty bad.
All right. With a burst of super speed, the human hurricane reaches his quarry and he's screaming, yeah, let go. And he says, not until you tell me where you are, who you come from. And I like that they don't go through the whole thing again because we already know. We just skip to, all right, so as this trap thief from the future has told the story, he says, so you see, it's in your interest to let me return to my own age. I'll never come back to bother you or your civilization again. We can just forget this whole thing happened and be cool. But quickly, the Flash's keen scientific mind probes the secrets of the time vehicle. And he says, your time capsule works by heat, tremendous heat. When you take off, the resultant blast will be great. He's basically saying, you're going to blow this fucking city off. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. It's going to be like 10 mile crater. Yeah, 10 mile crater. No problem. Let's go. Let's do this thing. And Flash's like, no, you're going to like kill all these people. He's like, only a few thousand. It's not like, come on. Let's do this. He's like, no. I'll get you back to the future, but I'm going to get you back another way. He's like, without a time. What the fuck? What are you talking about? He's like, yeah. I like how he just knows this or he's decided this. He's like, with my super speed, by traveling fast enough, close to the speed of light, I can set up vibrations that will project our bodies into the future. Accurately, apparently. Because I remember he always had the cosmic treadmill and the treadmill would help him use the speed to then direct it to the right place. But here he's just going for it.
He's got it like, down pat. Picking a guy up.
Maybe your particles will disintegrate on the way. I don't know. We're going to find out together. He said, this racetrack's not being used right now. All right, this is a good place. Let's go. Let's do it. Here we go. We're going to go at super speed. And they're like, whoa, he's fading out of sight. Then as the rate of the champion speedster hits a certain level, he said, I did it. We're passing through the mists of time. He just knows this. He sees mists and he's like, this is it. Those mists of time you've heard about. I think those are metaphors, Barry.
No, he just knows. He's naming it as he goes. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. And suddenly on the future time track, a roadblock appears. Roadblock quotes. He says, oh my God, there's a time barrier of some kind that some scientists have theorized about. Mazan didn't notice it coming to our era because he was traveling the other way. So there's a barrier that, of course, many scientists have been theorizing about. You should Google that. Do scientists theorize a time barrier? With every erg, what is this word erg? It's the second time I've heard this. This is a word they used in the 50s that they just stopped using altogether.
It must have been.
Erg. I'll look it up right now. Erg, a unit of work or energy. Okay. Sounds like a nerd term.
Definitely.
Like running on a treadmill, hardly moving forward. Look, that's like an Easter egg. It's like running on a treadmill. It's almost like you're planting the seeds for the classroom treadmill. Faster, gyrating the Flash legs till finally I broke through the time barrier. And then in Mazan's area, he's explaining everything. He's like, look, so to see justice done, I brought Mazan back to this court, Your Honor, so you can fucking shoot him off to the desolate planet like you planned to do in the first place. Like, geez, do you realize what you're leaving him to? I feel like this is kind of cruel. Again, I know you're going to defend Mazan, or you're not going to defend Mazan like I'm going to. And this guy says, when we put him in a time capsule again, we'll make sure. We're going to check this time. We didn't do the double check. We're going to make sure he travels into the future where he belongs. And Flash says, cool. I guess we're good then. I'm out of here. And then another short burst of speed. And then he's right back like where he was. He goes back and these guys that knows him disappear just see him reappear just in the same place. Incredible how Flash can move with time accuracy and apparently with location. Well, all right, I guess we can imagine whatever physical location in that century he was sent backwards was around Central City, so we're just kind of in the same place, but definitely moving through time here.
And he can also transport somebody safely to the future, cracking through with a huge time crack barriers. Going through a time barrier
apparently And as we wind down in the police laboratory, sometime afterward, Barry, or this other scientist guy, is saying, "You know, Barry, weeks have gone by and another one of those strange robberies." And Barry says, "Huh, I guess the thief was caught and is serving time somewhere." But, you know, that's a little in joke for Barry. I almost called him Jerry Allen. It's his cousin. Interesting that DC doesn't have all these issues, by the way, I noticed on the app. Luckily, they had this one, but the next one they have is showcase number 8, makes me really want to find, it just must mean they probably couldn't get scannable copies of 6 and 7. I'm guessing like some of these probably just, they just don't have at all.
You know? Yeah. So these showcase books, if you look them up, they're different topics each book. So some of them are like, superhero themes. Some of them aren't. So I think they just kind of put the ones that kind of fit with current continuity kind of like in there. So I think if you look at showcase number 1, I think showcase number 1's like a horror one, I think.
We should review that. Well, I wouldn't technically be a Silver Age spotlight, I guess, because it's three issues before the Silver Age. All right. So, you know, you were saying, you know, I was trying to defend Mazda and saying he's not that bad. Then what was your problem with Mazda? You said we were going to see how horrible he is. I didn't see him do anything that bad.
Well, he was pretty apathetic to the fact that his spaceship taking off would leave 10-mile-wide crater killing thousands of people. Yeah.
But he didn't do it in the end.
Well, he was going to do it
because Barry stopped him.
Barry stopped him.
I guess that's fair. You know, but he's from the future. Like, you know, but things are different then.
That's true.
But in fairness, I mean, these guys are going to send him off to a desolate planet. Like, I don't know. He's been through a lot. I have a little sympathy for Mazda. Again, they don't even say it was for... We see him being a thief in this century, but I don't think we ever see them say what his crimes are in the other
century. No, I don't think so.
So he might have done... I mean, we don't know. He could be a fucking rapist. He could have just jaywalked. Like, it really could be a range of issues.
It could be anything. I mean, he's a cross between the Joker and Lex Luthor. So just mix their crimes together and maybe that's what he was doing.
All right, that being said, do you want to... So the first story was actually written by Bob Kaniger. Oh. I now see in the credits here. So the first story was Bob Kaniger. So it was a different writer, but same artist, Carmine Infantino. So
okay.
Why don't you take it first this time?
Yeah, so I thought the... I'll start with the story on this one. So I thought the story left a little bit... there's a little bit to be desired with this story. I thought it went on a little bit too long. Unlike the previous one,
amazing for a 12 page story.
Yeah, I don't think they needed to imprison Mazdan and then let him go free and then catch him again. And it went on for one too many times. So I'm going to give the story on this one a 3. I thought it was pretty good. I could have used a little bit more explanation on some of his new powers and how he knew he could do this stuff. Mm-hmm. It is just kind of left flat. The art on this one, I thought was very similar to the previous story. I thought it was pretty good for Silver Age art. Seeing that it's the same artist, I didn't see anything major deficiencies in here. I'm going to give this one a 4 on the art. So I'm going to give this story a 7 out of 10.
All right. Well, I think I'm with you there on the art because, you know, it's pretty much the same guy, same stuff. It would be inconsistent for me to say anything wildly different. So I'm going to give it a 4 on the art. I think I'm with you once again, man. I think we're in sync here. This was a step back from the first issue. So I think it's definitely not as good or first half of the issue, the first story. And whereas I feel like Bob Kaniger in the first issue was a little more careful with like trying to make sure everything Barry said made sense here. We didn't get as much of like, he's just like, oh yeah, I can go through time. I can just push it through time. It's fine. It's like, well, I don't know, a little bit less of an explanation. And I agree somehow we find a way to get what felt like filler in a 12 page story. Like you said, you really didn't need to get him in jail, catch him. It's like, he did this 3 times. It felt like we're in a time loop of our own.
Yeah.
And it's still some strange inconsistencies. Like I guess the Flash has stopped him. So he kind of has to listen to the Flash's solution here, but like, why does he want, he shouldn't want to go back to that time where they're just going to take him and send him off to the, he should want to go somewhere else entirely.
Right. You know?
Why was he saying he was even saying that, oh, I'm going to go back, get back to my time so I can like, no, but that's where you go to jail. Like the time is where they just send you back to the desolate 50th century. Like, why do you want to do that? And he seemed okay with it. He didn't seem like he was like, oh, okay. Yeah. We're going back. Great. Let's go.
That's great. Let's go.
So that seemed a little strange to me. And I frankly brought this up earlier. I want to know what Mazan did. Cause I need to know, is this a horrible character that I should not feel bad for that he's being sent to a bit desolate planet? Or is this like, should I be sympathetic? Should I be like, dude, this guy's just trying to get home. Yeah, he's got to steal some stuff. He's got to break into a bank. But he's from the future. And what do you want him to do? You know?
I mean, I think any additional Mazdan stories would have to be left for a very future episode.
I want a Mazdan year one.
I'm calling.
Use this character recently. Do you think like at some point, because you know how Marvel and DC, they'll just keep making new stories just to keep the IP. Do you think that they still have Mazdan's IP? I'm going to look him up. When's the last time he was in a story?
1977.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, what, I mean, he might, it Flash.
And that was the last time he appeared. So it's been almost 50 years.
According to what I'm reading here, the last books he was in was Flash books.
Mazdan, New Earth, history. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, here we go. Flash. He's been Flash 254 to 256 for anyone who's interested.
I got a new last appearance for you.
Okay.
This, according to this, there's a book called The Life Story of the Flash, December 1997.
Okay.
So maybe that was like this happened, you know, if it's recapping a story, maybe they talk about one of his early adventures with Mazdan. That's okay.
I mean, it's a classic story.
Classic stuff. Absolutely.
Classic stuff.
All right. Well, either way, I think we both agree. If you see this in a dollar bin, Jesus fucking Christ, get the hell out of there. Just be casual. Yep. Go pay the dollar. Don't act weird. Just do it. Or if you see this for almost any price, because honestly, even a two will probably fetch you a pretty penny for this one.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you know, the Flash, I grew up with, I didn't grow up with Barry Allen Flash myself, but I did like the Flash in the 90s growing up. So it's nice to see technically Jay Garrick is the original Flash, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, Barry Allen is the real first Flash.
So yeah. It was nice to go back and read the original origin of the Flash in its unedited, entirety. You know, don't often get to read books that are from the 50s. So this was a real treat, I think. And by the way, we give this a 15 out of 20 combined average score.
Not bad.
But I'd say this is a must read for anyone who's a fan of The Flash or fan of early DC books.
I think a lot of this stuff, you know, especially ones that we look at that are of historic significance, no matter the quality of it, a lot of them will end up being still like a must read because, you know, it's like, yeah, you just got to see what happened, even if the way it happened sucked. You
know, absolutely.
It's still historic. So check it out. It's probably going to be a lot of the recommendations, especially when they're so easy to get on like the DC Infinite app or what have you.
Yeah. Saves you $100,000.
All right. Well, Eric, it's been fun diving into the Silver Age. We're going to be doing this every single month here in the SBC Comics Club. So. Until next time, we need a sign-off. We need a very special Silver Age sign-off. Any thoughts? Oh, I had an idea, by the way. You know, we're talking, we had it narrowed down to two subjects, you know, two books we were going to do.
Yeah.
How about we do that again, but instead of you giving me two and I choose, you give me two and I'll post them as a poll in the Patreon. And then they will just, the fans will decide.
I love that. Love that idea.
So that's what we're going to do. And hopefully somebody can help us with the sign-off because I didn't think of it. And so until next time, read Silver Age comics and change the world.
Change the world.
Good night.